That's it, right? You don't help yourself by falling behind 2-0 early in games. They have to do something about that.
Oh, listen, you can only go to the well so many times on that. And the Leafs, all season long, have shown that even when they're down 2-3 goals, you're never out of it. And last night was, again, a good example of that. But they are the President's Trophy winners this season. And you only get so many opportunities. And I thought it was a lost opportunity last night. That was a winnable game. That was a game that maybe with a little bit more experience, you guys talked about better goaltending, of course. But that one was within their grasps.
And are the Caps, would you say the Caps are a little, even flying back to D.C., still a little rattled. They're like, oh. God, there's no easy. The Leafs are able to pull the goalie. We can't play more the third and fourth line. And we have to keep watching the line matchups in the third period. It's still a lot harder than it should be for a 118-point team when they get a 2-0 and a 4-1 lead after that.
I would have a ton of concern right now. And not that I'm feeling like we could still lose this series, which they can. Mm-hmm. But what is going on with our game here? Where is that regular season now? Where's the killer instincts to close out the game for the Washington Capitals? How do you even let the Toronto Maple Leafs come back and make people believe that they could still have won the hockey game? But they're not tight. They're not a tight hockey club right now. And even you guys talked about Freddie Anderson. We were talking about Holtby after two periods and how pucks were falling behind him and how he was fighting it a little bit, and turned out to be true. It's just he's not anywhere near where he needs to be. The consistency of Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie isn't where it needs to be. And outside of Tom Wilson, some of the role players aren't getting the job done either on a consistent basis. So I think that's something that the Leafs can help hang their hat on going into game five.
With our hockey insider, Nick Kiprios, you would think, and going forward, this is going to be good for them, and not just this year, but next year and for the next couple of years. The fact of the matter is they have younger legs. No matter who they're going up against, they have a lot left at the end.
Well, there's no question that Washington it's at times looking like they're having trouble with the speed game. And if you go back last year, this time when they lost in the second round, it was the Haglunds, Connor Sheary, and those type of guys, Rust, who ended up outskating them and getting to pucks. And then Washington was just had their heads spinning. And at times we've seen that already in this series. They got the Leafs have a defense that necessarily isn't a go-to guy with a Carlson or a Brent Burns leading the way, but Gardner can skate the puck out, Riley could skate the puck out, and when Hunwick's feeling it, he's another guy that can skate pretty well. So if the Leafs can get their speed game going a little bit too, and find ways to get on loose pucks, Hyman's play, I think, that tied the game the other night was something that optically you need to see a lot more of moving forward. If the Leafs can find their speed game again, they're going to give some the Capitals some fits, I think, in Game 5.
Nick Kiprios, our guest, Brady and Price, 8:17. Rangers Habs Game 5 tonight, 7 o'clock on CBC. Sharks Oilers, 10:30 on Sportsnet. Chicago, Nashville, Blue Jackets, Pens in between there. We don't always get your the panel reaction because we got to wait till intermissions, but what was the reaction last night in the late game when Brian Elliott's pulled after not a great goal? Everyone admits that, but that's as short a leash, Nick, as I've ever seen with a goalie. And I know they're down 3-0. They must have discussed to Chad Johnson, hey, you might go in really early. Goalies usually get those heads up. How did you react? How did Kelly react? Yeah. There's an ex-goalie going, man, that's not much of a plan. 5 minutes in, why not start Chad Johnson if you're that panicky?
Yeah, we felt for Brian Elliott, but then there's Kelly Rudy, who's an ex-goalie that just felt it at another level. And it was tough to to watch, and it was tough. It was tough to watch Kelly watch it as Brian Elliott came to the bench, dejected, as bad as I've ever seen any goalie. Wouldn't take his mask off, and that's another sign that a goalie does feel humiliated when he does not take his mask off. And
then a goal gets past Johnson a minute later, and you feel bad for him because he gets pushed. He didn't get the warm-up a starter gets.
Didn't get the warm-up, and then he's got a 3-on-2, a minute and 8 seconds, and you're sitting there going, what are these guys doing to their goalies? But I can only imagine management and the coaching staff and the conversation going back and forth on whether to start Elliott or go to Johnson. I went on record before and I said you have to go to Chad Johnson. The team has lost complete confidence in Elliott, and you can't bring that energy into the hockey game. And the argument was that Chad Johnson hadn't played in 16 games, all but 5 minutes, but he also played almost 40 games. He won almost 20 games. There was something that Chad Johnson did during the regular season that should have shown that they have enough confidence that they can win one game and extend this series. But to pull him after one goal, all that did was just put the microscope on a managerial decision to go with the wrong guy. That's all that did.
They say you play 82 games to get home advantage, and yet there really doesn't seem to be very much of that in the National Hockey League. You mentioned Calgary. They ended up going home, losing both games. The Canadians lost the game at home. Ottawa and Boston. Boston goes home. They can't win. Has it changed because the arenas used to be like more suited? You had like the small Boston Garden. They used to have big players, and they'd have players more tailored for their game. That every NHL arena kind of looks the same once you hit the ice?
I'm still a believer that Game 7, I want it at home, and there's a comfort zone for players being in your own environment, your own bed, your family, whatever. But I like it towards the latter part. But, yeah, there might be something to be said that guys are relaxed and it's us versus the world mentality when you're on the road. And I do buy into the fact that at times you do keep it a lot simpler on the road and you're able to kind of maintain a focus amongst a smaller feel when you're on the road. But I still like it. I still like it when it matters the most. And I think statistically that's proven towards the latter part of the series.
Before you go, you build up equity in careers in any line of work, and the Blackhawks have a ton of equity. You got 3 cups in 7 years. You've built it up. Will we say anything about them if Nashville ends this tonight, or will we just shrug our shoulders and go, these things happen? I mean, they lost to what seemed like a way overmatched Phoenix team the year Marian Hossa got hurt. Like, it's just one of those things, isn't it?
It's really hard to rip Pat Kane and Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith. We just, 5 minutes ago, we called them the greatest 100 players in the history of the game, and they're like in their mid-20s. I mean, how do you rip them? How do you rip them? I would never go down that path. Just too much respect for the way they've played the last few years, and they've played a lot of hockey. And Nashville, although they had a rough season, or at least an inconsistent one, a rough one would have been missing the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But they've always, the last few years, been a team that we gave good reason they should contend in the Western Conference. So some may rip Chicago if they bow out. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, it's interesting that Jonathan Toews, when Shea Weber was traded out of the division, was saying, hey, I don't have to play against that guy anymore. Fact of the matter is, you beat them when he played there, and now that he's not there, you're going to lose. Just weird.
Yeah, but there's a few guys there still there that can make things difficult. But, you know, good on David Poile. It was a rough regular season, but seems to be coming together at the right time.
Yeah, and Yossi and Ellis have had a great series. Great series.
Yeah, they're deep. They're deep on that back end, and another reason why they felt they could move Shea Weber. And P.K. Subban is not nearly hit his stride as we've seen him before with the Montreal Canadiens this time of year. So, you know, you look at that lineup right now, and right now you wouldn't pick him as the number one defenseman necessarily. And he's got another gear he can still go.